Last week, we came to the end of section on the recollection of death, but there is a footnote in the path of purification giving information about concept of panyati, and it is in connection with the verses quoted on page 256. And the last verse reads, "No world is born if consciousness is not produced. When that is present, then it lives. When consciousness dissolves, the world is dead. The highest sense this concept will allow." Actually, the last line means that here the concept is virtually in the ultimate sense, or in the highest sense. The Pali word for this line is panyati paramattiya. That means here panyati is paramatta. And that is because when we say someone lives or someone dies, we really talk about consciousness arising and disappearing. Since it is about, it is talked about consciousness, it is the ultimate truth or the ultimate reality. So here, concept is virtually the ultimate reality. So in connection with that, the translator gives information about panyati or concept, and he took this information from the commentary to the Puggala Panyati, one of the books in Abhidhamma. There are seven books in Abhidhamma, and this Puggala Panyati is one of them, and it is the one book in Abhidhamma which does not look like Abhidhamma. It is in fact taken from Sota Vidaka, because it describes different types of human beings. And the book is called Puggala Panyati, the concept of persons. Now, the word panyati in Pali has two meanings. You may look at the notes. So the first meaning is that which makes known, or that which designates. And that which makes known, or that which designates, is called nama panyati. So we will call it name concept. That means the words denoting the things. So the words denoting the things, or the names we give to different things, are called nama panyati because they make things known. When I say a table, then you know the thing table. When I say a man, you know the being man. So the words or the names are called panyati here. Now the second meaning is that which is made known, that which is designated, and that is called attha panyati, thing concept. So there are two kinds of concept, name concept and thing concept. The word man, or the name man, is a name concept, and the person, the man himself, is the thing concept, because the being man is designated by or made known by the word or the name man. So we can get many examples of this. That when we say a car, the word car is a name concept, and the thing which we call car is a thing concept. mostly today we are going to learn about name concepts. So in that book of Abhidhamma, first the six kinds of concepts or designations are given. So they are the notes are the same as the small prints in this book, but it's difficult to read in a small print. So in order to facilitate reading, I made these notes. They are not new. So concept of aggregates, concept of bases, concept of elements, concept of truth, concept of faculties, and concept of persons. These are the six kinds of concepts dealt with in that book of Abhidhamma, Puggala Paññatti. So the examples for concept of aggregate is just the aggregate of metta, or aggregate of feeling, aggregate of perception, and so on. Concept of bases is eye base, ear base, and so on. And concept of elements is eye element, ear element, and so on. And concept of truth is noble truth of suffering, noble truth of the origin of suffering, and so on. And concept of faculties is eye faculty, ear faculty, and so on. And the concept of persons, there are many kinds of persons mentioned in that book, and this is only one of them, one who is free from defilements at appropriate times. So there are different kinds of persons mentioned in that book of Abhidhamma, and then the explanation of these names. So these are the concepts according to the texts, the Pali. And then, according to commentaries, apart from the concepts mentioned in the text, there are other kinds of concepts mentioned in the commentaries. So they are one, concept of the existent, concept of the non-existent, and so on. So these six are a little important. And these six are mentioned in the Manual of Abhidhamma also. In the 8th chapter of Manual of Abhidhamma, these six concepts are given. So here, existent and non-existent means, existent means something which has the three phases of existence: arising, continuing, and disappearing or dissolution. These three phases, these three sub-moments are called common characteristic of all conditioned phenomena. So anything that is conditioned must have these three characteristics: arising, and then continuing for some time, and then disappearing. So anything that has these three phases of existence is called the existent here. And anything that has no such phases of existence is called non-existent. And according to the teachings of Abhidhamma, only those that are mentioned in Abhidhamma, like consciousness, mental states, and material properties, and nibbana, are existent. And the others are non-existent. So Paññatti is actually non-existent. Only the ultimate truth is existent. So the concept of existent means the name of something which is said to be existent. And so kusala or akusala, these are the terms of wholesome consciousness and unwholesome consciousness. So these names are called concept of existent or names of existent. And concept of non-existent means names given to things or to beings which are non-existent according to Abhidhamma. Now, a man or a woman or a house or a table or whatever is supposed to be non-existent according to ultimate sense, in the ultimate sense. Because there is no woman apart from the aggregates, no man apart from the aggregates, no house apart from the different parts like roofs, walls, doors, and so on. So they are called non-existent. So So the name woman or the name man is the name of the non-existent being or non-existent thing. Then sometimes we combine these two, existence and non-existent, and so we get four more of the concepts. So the third concept is concept of the non-existent by existent. So concept of the non-existent by or with what is existent. Now, one with three clear visions. Now you must understand that the Pali word devijja. Here, one is non-existent, right? A person is non-existent, but three clear visions, that means knowledge, in Pali abhinya. So clear vision is existent because it is jnana, one of the 52 mental states. So this is a concept or designation of the non-existent by existent. The next one is designation of existent by non-existent. Now here, female form. Now form means rupa. So form does not here mean a shape or something, but here the form means rupa. So rupa is existent because it has its own three phases of existence, arising, continuing, and disappearing. But female or woman is non-existent. Therefore, female form, this name, this designation is the designation designation of what is existent by non-existent. Now the next one is the concept of existent by existent. So here both must be found in the Abhidhamma. I here means eye sensitivity. So eye sensitivity is among the 28 material properties. So it is existent. And contact, phasa, is one of the 52 mental states, and so it is existent. So eye contact is concept of the existent by existent. And the last one is non-existent by non-existent. So both must be non-existent according to the ultimate reality. A banker's son. So a son is non-existent and a banker is also non-existent. So this is the designation of non-existent by non-existent. So these are the six kinds of concepts mentioned in the commentaries. So you can give other examples to say following these. You can say, and you can give anything. For example, for non-existent, you can say a house, a car, a lamp, a kettle, whatever. And non-existent by existent, that is one with three clear visions, or one with attachment, one with anger, something like that. And existent by non-existent, female form. Can you give one example? The first must be non-existent and the last existent.
Male form.
A cup of
tea.
A cup of... No, not a cup of tea.
Or
else
in the cup.
No.
Man kusala.
My?
Man kusala. Person kusala.
Oh, monks kusala. Right. Monks kusala or monks akusala. Or a monk's voice, you can say. A voice is one of the 28 material properties. So a monk's voice. Yeah. And the next one, eye contact. You can substitute some other thing. I consciousness, right? I is existence and consciousness is also existence. So I consciousness. The last one, Bengal San.
Movie star.
Right. So these are the set of six concepts mentioned in the commentaries. And then the commentary also give other sets of concepts according to teachers. That means they are not found in the commentaries even, but they are mentioned by teachers. So there are two sets of six of them. The one is derivative concept. That means depending on something, the name is given. So being, the name being is given depending on the five aggregates, a combination of five aggregates. The name chariot is given depending on the combination of different parts. So such concept is called derivative concept. The second one is appositional concept, and it has subdivision. They are given at the end of the list. We'll go to them later. So appositional concept here, second, third. That means when we say this is second, then the other is third. And when we say the other is third, then the next one is fourth and so on. That is appositional concept. And collective concept, that is like common noun, eight-footed, the pile of riches. So this is the name of collective things. Additive concept, that means adding one more, so two, three, four. There should be no one. In the notes, it gives one, because there is nothing to add, nothing adding there. So from two on, we have adding. So two, three, four. And in the commentary also, it is given only two, three, four. And then very similar concept. That means the name of those taught in Abhidhamma. So earth element, water element, consciousness, mental factor, something like that. They are all very similar concept. And the sixth is continuity concept. That is, name given depending on the continuity of a being. So, octogenarian, nonagenarian, something like that. Say, 80-year-old man, 90-year-old man, and so on. And another set of six, according to teachers also. So, there are two sets of concepts according to teachers. One, concept according to function. A preacher, a Dhamma teacher. So, it is given depending on the function done by that person. Then concept according to shape, form. So a thin man, a stout man, a round man, and so on. And then concept according to gender, the man or woman. Concept according to location, that is of sense sphere. This jhita belongs to kama vajra sense sphere, this jhita belongs to rupa vajra form sphere, and so on. Or Kosalan. Kosalan means a native of Kosala. Kosala is the name of a place. So we can put here American. And then concept S, proper name, that is one's own name. So these are all names in Pali, Tesa, Naga, Sumana. So you can put any name you like, your own name there. Concept of the unconditioned, that is name of the things that are not conditioned, cessation or nibbana. And the appositional concept is subdivided into eight. Maybe we can add many more. So one is apposition of reference, that is, with reference to this, the other is called the third. With reference to the second, the other is called third, and so on. Or long and short. That means 1 foot is long compared with 6 inches, but 1 foot is short compared with two feet, and so on. So it is called a position of reference. And then a position of what is in the hand. If you have his umbrella in the hand, you are called a man with umbrella in the hand, or umbrella in hand. If you have a kettle in your hand, then kettle in hand, and so on. Then apposition with apposition of association, that is earring wearer or jacket wearer, you may say anything. And then apposition of contents, corn wagon. Then apposition of proximity, Indasala cave. Indasala is a name of a tree. So Indasala cave means a cave near that tree. But because a tree cannot be a cave and a cave cannot be a tree. But here Indasala cave means a cave close to the Indasala tree. Something like redwood cave, we may say. And then apposition of comparison. Comparison really means similarity here. So gold colored means with color similar to that of gold. And then apposition of majority. Lotus pond. There may be some other plants, some other flowers in the pond, but since most of them are lotus, we say lotus pond. So United States of America, but there are Asians now in the United States, but we still call America this country. And in the books it is said the Brahmana village, the village of Brahmanas. That means majority of them are Brahmanas, but there are other people too. And then apposition of distinction. That means something special about that thing. So ruby bracelet. In the book it is called diamond something. Diamond ring. But the Pali word means the bracelet. Not the ring you wear on your finger. So ruby bracelet. And in the notes on page 258, a footnote, line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That is some mistranslation. Apposition of majority. Badumasara Brahman village. Actually, Badumasara is one word, and Brahman village is another word. They are not one word. They are two words. And Badumasara means lotus pond, and Brahman village is Brahman village. So they are two examples, not one. He misunderstood this. So these are the concepts, different kinds of concepts, and taught in and the text, commentaries, and also taught by teachers. And according to the teachings of Abhidhamma, concepts do not have the three phases of existence. So we cannot say a concept. Concept has time or whatever, so it has no existence or no reality. It exists only in our minds. It is like maybe chemist saying there is no such thing as water, apart from the two elements combined together. So. In the ultimate sense, I mean, according to chemistry, there is no water but just oxygen and, what is the other one?
Hydrogen.
Hydrogen and oxygen. So water is concept. Hydrogen and oxygen is ultimate reality, according to chemistry. So in the same way, so according to chemistry, water has no existence of its own. It is just a combination of two atoms, I mean two elements. So in the same way, the concept a man or a woman has no real existence. It, it exists only in the mind of the people who use it. So at the bottom of page 258, there is this statement: a concept is a dhamma without individual essence. So we cannot say the concept has this individual essence, this characteristic, or that individual essence, or that characteristic. So they are just concepts. They just exist in our minds and not in ultimate reality. So these are the concepts. So we have to understand two kinds of truths, we call the conventional truth and ultimate truth. And on the conventional level, we use words denoting concepts, like a man, a woman, and a table, a house. But on ultimate level, then we use words like consciousness, contact, feeling, and so on. So these are the two kinds of truth: ultimate truth and conventional truth. And conventional truth is called Panyati in Pali, and it has many divisions. The name concept and thing concept first. So everything we see around us, including ourselves, is concept. But the things which compose all us, the things with which we are made, are the ultimate truth. So five aggregates is ultimate truth, but a man or a woman is not ultimate truth. It is a conventional truth. Okay, so these are the different kinds of concepts taught in Abhidhamma, actually.
How many more concepts of the unconditioned could there be? There aren't very many more, right?
Cessation, Nibbana, deathlessness, or something which denotes Nibbana. Because we have to understand here that unconditioned and supramundane are different. There are types of consciousness belonging to supramundane level, say third consciousness, fruition consciousness. Although they are supramundane, they are still conditioned. They need conditions to arise. So they are not unconditioned, although they take unconditioned as object, unconditioned which is Nibbana as object. So if you want to give some more examples, we have to find some names for Nibbana. Things like extinction of suffering, extinction of destruction of canker, something like that. Okay, now we go to the next section: mindfulness occupied with the body. So it begins with the quotation from the suttas, where Buddha praised the practice of mindfulness occupied with the body, or mindfulness of the body. So bhikkhus, when one thing is developed and repeatedly practiced, it leads to a supreme sense of urgency, to supreme benefit, to supreme cessation of bondage, to supreme mindfulness and full awareness, to acquisition of knowledge and vision, to a happy life here and now, to realization of the fruit of clear vision and deliverance. What is that one thing? It is mindfulness occupied with the body. Then another sutta: bhikkhus, they sever the deathless who sever mindfulness occupied with the body. They do not sever the deathless who do not sever mindfulness occupied with the body. Now, here what is actually meant is when people practice mindfulness occupied with the body, they do not stop with just mindfulness occupied with the body. After practicing mindfulness occupied with the body, they practice vipassana, and that is why they are said to savor the deathless or nibbana. They have savored the deathless who have savored mindfulness occupied with the body. They have not savored, they have neglected, they have not neglected, they have missed, they have not missed, and they have found the deathless who have found mindfulness occupied with the body. And it has been described in 14 sections in the passage beginning, and how developed bhikkhu, how repeatedly practiced is mindfulness occupied with the body of great fruit, of great benefit. Here bhikkhu, bhikkhus, a bhikkhu gone to the forest, and so on. Now, these are uttered by the Buddha in praise of the mindfulness occupied with the body. But we are not to understand that only mindfulness occupied with the body is the best, because there are different kinds of meditation. We have come through many types of meditation. So, and any meditation, if we practice properly, will lead to the attainment of deathlessness or attainment of nibbana. Sometimes, if we pick up only this statement, then we will want to say that only mindfulness occupied with the body is the thing to practice, not other kinds of meditation. Because here Buddha praised, Buddha said that those who savor mindfulness of the body savor deathlessness. But in fact, every kind of meditation, even samatha meditation, when made the basis for vipassana, can help people to get enlightenment. So any kind of meditation is good for practice. And the mindfulness occupied with the body is described in 14 sections in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. You know, there are four contemplations of, four foundations of mindfulness, and that they are contemplation of the body, of feelings, of consciousness, and of Dhamma objects. Now, contemplation of the body is described in 14 sections in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. All of them could be called mindfulness occupied with the body. But some sections or some meditations have their own names. So we don't normally call it the mindfulness occupied with the body. For example, breathing meditation. So we call it breathing meditation, or in Pali, anapanasati meditation. We don't call it kayakatasati, which is the original of mindfulness occupied with the body. But mindfulness occupied with the body covers all these 14 sections. Breathing, postures of the body, and small activities of the body, and then 32 parts of the body, we are going to study them. And then 4 elements and 9 symmetry meditations. They are all described under the head mindfulness of the body. So there are 14 sections in the passage beginning, and how develop bhikkhu, how to repeatedly practice is mindfulness occupied with the body of great fruit, of great benefit. And the reference is given as Majjhima Nikaya, middle length sayings. The Mahasatipatthana Sutta, or the Sutta on the foundations of mindfulness, can be found in two collections. In the collections of long suttas, and also in the collection of middle length suttas. So this sutta, the great discourse on the foundations of mindfulness appeared twice in the Sutta Pitaka. once in a collection of long suttas and then in the collection of middle length suttas. So that is to say, the sections on breathing, on postures, on the four kinds of full awareness, on attention directed to repulsiveness, this is the 32 parts, on attention directed to elements, four great elements, and on the nine channel ground contemplations. So here in the three, that is to say, the sections on postures, on the four kinds of full awareness, and on attention directed to elements, as they are stated in that sutta, deal with insight, vipassana. So they deal with vipassana meditation. The section on postures, on four kinds of full awareness, and attention directed to elements. Then the nine sections in the channel ground contemplations, as stated there, deal with that particular phase of insight knowledge called contemplation of danger. Actually, contemplation of, I would say, faults of something. Flaws or faults. Not necessarily danger. So when we practice the channel ground meditation, we find fault with our bodies. See, we might have thought of our bodies as beautiful, as pretty, as desirable. Now, when we practice this kind of meditation, we find fault with our body. Our body is just the a group of filthy things that come together and something like that. So it deals with insight knowledge. In the beginning, it may be samatha meditation, but ultimately it becomes vipassana meditation. And any development of concentration in the bloated, etc., that might be implied there has already been explained in the description of foulness, chapter 6. So there are only the two, that is, the sections on breathing and on directing attention to repulsiveness that, as stated there, deal with concentration. Here, concentration means samatha meditation. So, according to this, sections on breathing meditation and repulsiveness meditation are samatha meditation. So they are treated as samatha meditation in Visuddhimagga. Of these two, the sections on breathing is a separate meditation subject. It will come later, namely mindfulness of breathing. What is intended here as mindfulness occupied with the body is the 32 aspects. So, according to this meditation, there are 32 parts. We human beings are made up of 32 parts, 32 different things. And when we practice this kind of meditation, we try to see these 32 parts as repulsive and so on. And that is to get rid of attachment to our bodies and or to the bodies of other people as well. So these 32 are given here. Again, a bhikkhu reviews this body up from the soles of the feet and down from the top of the hair and contained in the skin as full of many kinds of filth. Thus, in this body there are head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skins, and so on. Of the oil of the joints and the urine, the brain being included in the bone marrow in this version, with a total of only 31 aspects. Now, in the text, only 31 parts are mentioned. Not 32 as we are familiar with. And the one which is missing in the text is mentioned in one of the books called Patisambhita Magga. And that book is said to be preached by Sariputta, not by the Buddha. So it was taught by the Venerable Sariputta. And in our countries, they are included in the canon, and they are treated as the texts themselves. But Western people, Western critics, wanted to keep those out of the Pali canon. The questions of Milinda and Patisambhita Magga, and there's another book called Mahanidhisa. So they are called post-canonical books or scriptures. But in our countries, we just include them in the text, because they were uttered during the time of, we believe that they were uttered during the time of the Buddha, and Buddha accepted them as authentic, and so they are as good as the words of the Buddha. So we just regard them as belonging to the category of texts.
In terms of tradition, are there 32 marks? There's also 32 marks of the Buddha.
Yes.
And are they at all? I don't think they are comparable to these 32.
Oh no!
I mean, as far as opposites or anything.
Right.
How did that arise? And is that
those marks are the marks of super. Like a Superman, and by those marks, the soothsayers came to the conclusion that this child is going to be a Buddha or a universal monarch. And it is said that these marks are mentioned in the books long before Buddha came to the world. So in the books of Brahmanism, or maybe. The older than that. So they just took them from these books and incorporated into the texts. But these are different. These are for foulness meditation. So all filthy parts of the body are given here. Head hair, body hair, and so on. So brain is not mentioned by the Buddha, let us say, by the Buddha, among the parts of the body, but it is mentioned in the Patisambhita Magga, and the commentaries and the teachers of old just include it in the 32 parts, and they put the brain after, let's say, after dung, before bile. So between dung and bile, they put brain. Now. We'll come to that. In paragraph 49, I think it is in paragraph 49. No, not there. in some, or paragraph 60, in some suttas, these. 32 parts or 31 parts are treated as elements. So the first until dung or brain, the first, how many?
Brain, 20.
So the first 20 are said to belong to earth element, because they have more earth element than other elements. And the remaining are said to belong to water element. So beginning with bile, phlegm, pus, and so on. So if we want to practice it as the element meditation, division into element meditation, we view them as among these 32 parts, and these belong to earth element, they belong to water element, and so on.
What is number 15? Lights?
I think we'll come to that later. Lights.
Eyes.
Not
eyes. Let me see. It's difficult to say. Because these are something like anatomical terms. In the Pali terms also.
The spleen.
The spleen is one thing. There is spleen already. So it is the flesh of the light is divided into two or three pieces of flesh. I don't know that. We will find it out later. Because others may have a different translation of this. It is internal. I don't know whether I can call them organs. Internal parts of the body, spleen, and then some kind of flesh. So these are, let's say, 32 parts, although only 31 are really mentioned in the sutta. So let us accept 32 as a standard number. Now, the word commentary, this body, this filthy body constructed out of the four primary elements.